It's like he played this game before.
Yes, a do-over.
Hey. We're on.
Oh, we're on.
Oh, a mulligan is also like an average chick married to the lead singer of Mumford & Sons. What?
Who?
Never what?
Mind. Never mind.
What?
That resonated.
And I halt the show the most, right? I'm not the one who just throws these out there.
Well, it's better than starting with some lame obscure Star Wars reference about episode true. 5.
Oh, what? No. We did it.
Would go off in that tangent.
Ah, screw it. Let's go.
We've killed enough time. Bat Slam Podcast, episode number 5, Thursday, October 25th, 2018. Boys, let's try this again. I mean, we finally made it. This is our first attempt at recording this episode, and it's going off swimmingly.
We can roll back the curtains for a second. So, just so everyone knows, I screwed up. My laptop died.
You didn't screw up. Stop being so dramatic.
So this is take two, but you would have never known unless John brought it up.
Oh, God.
I mean, radio professional.
I mean, if you want to pull back the curtain even further, I've been drinking since 6:30.
Oh, my God.
This was inevitable. This is going to happen whether you wanted it to or not.
And hey, listeners, remember we told you about episode 5 will be spot on and perfect?
Yeah, right.
No.
So that's moved to episode 6 now.
We said listenable. We didn't say professional spot on. We said listenable.
We do have an out, right? So.
I mean, and even that's a lofty expectation. But in any case, we're here to episode 5.
Here.
And
we've made it, boys.
Yes, yep. We've made it for 5 consecutive weeks. So I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golf clap for us, because Jack, in his infinite attempts to sabotage the show, has failed miserably. He has managed to show
what?
Up. What? He showed up, and we've been able to get 5 podcasts off the ground. So I thank you, boys, for putting in the time and effort so we can keep this train moving along.
Thank you.
But show business, as always, this is Asian John. To my right, big brother Jack.
What up?
And as always, on the ones and twos, Mr. Ice.
Yo.
I promise not to say Mr. Ice ever again. That's going to be the last time.
It's really awful. Sounds like Mr. Frosty or Mr.
I mean, that might have been like a nickname growing up. I'm fairly certain of it at this point.
No.
But
did I ever tell you the story that on my, what was it, my passport? Yeah, my passport. When I was a kid, the Thai folks misspelled Mr. and they put an A instead. So I was actually Master Ice. It's crazy. So I kept it though, and I showed my wife, and she never believed me. So I
don't believe you now.
Yeah,
I mean, were I in your position, I would just keep that in my back pocket at all times. And anytime somebody wanted to argue and say, you don't argue with the master.
That's
ever.
Pretty good.
Yes,
pretty
exactly. Well, the master has spoken, but the master has also done a whole lot of work to set up our website. That's badslant.com. Social media at BadSlant on both Instagram and Twitter. The take one step back. The website does have an Amazon tab for us. It is just a small little link you click on to get to your Amazon shopping. It changes nothing for you, but it gives us a tiny piece of the pie so that we can try to recoup the money we've thrown away on this fruitless endeavor that is this this podcast. Whatever you can do is most appreciated. So click the tab on our website, badslant.com. And as always, you can find this godforsaken show on a bevy of podcast mediums. Apple Podcasts, as it was explained to me, a different venture than iTunes.
Yep.
Google Podcasts via Google Play. We'll have a diagram to explain how all of this works. Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, all those places you can find the show. Again, we probably have more platforms and listeners, but we're going to keep banging the drum to hopefully fix that in short order. But we're at episode 5, boys. So again, congrats. We're here. Hopefully this is somewhat close to the mark that we set to be listenable. So
I think so. I think our last episode was one of the best ones so far. And then, you know, we just got to keep improving. You know, that I you know, it can only go up from here.
I'll say this. I had a lot of fun that even though we went like 80 minutes. we've gotten numerous complaints from people we didn't know listened to the show saying we went way too damn long. But in any event, it was a fun show to record with you boys, disregarding the fact that Jack didn't finish his fireball.
Ooh.
Huh?
Ooh.
What? Oh, sorry. It's not like the evidence is sitting right in front of me. But
we have made it, and you know, we've always set the bar really high for ourselves. So we always said once we made it to the fifth episode, we're going to be experts. We're going to be listenable. We're going to perfect the craft. We're not going to have recording issues like we did today. And so in honor of all that, we wanted to make today's episode really special.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the things we've been doing lining up ahead of this show, we're trying to figure out like who can we get as a fourth mic? Who can we get on the show as a special guest for this special episode for us?
So before this week, we're 0-1.
So, yeah. But
we harbor no ill will. You can't tell in the tone of my voice, but we are not upset by that fact at all.
No, but we're still working on that one. So
yeah, for sure.
We'll make it happen. But I'm super excited with who we have here in the studio today. So let me cue the music and let's introduce him.
I mean,
John,
you couldn't tell who that person is by the deafening silence that, wait,
whoa.
That's really confusing because there are no real Americans in this room right now.
There are zero Americans in this room.
Well. Whoa.
Oh.
This is crazy. Who's this?
Oh.
Sweet merciful Jesus.
Oh my God.
Who's this? It's that red-blooded American that we all know and love. He's a bartender at Mustang Sally in Chantilly, an aspiring beer salesman at Peak Brewing, and also the officiant at my wedding. Yes, the guy who married me and my wife, Jack. My wife.
You get that, Jack?
I did. I
write that down.
Mental note.
Anyway, our first guest on the Bad Slant podcast is none other than Liam. Give him a round of applause.
What's up, Polkamaniacs? Thousands of listeners right now. I just want to say, what's up?
Thousands might be a stretch, bro.
Thousands and millions of listeners right now.
Yeah. Thousands of people on the internet, maybe. But thank you for being our first guest, man. It's an honor to have you here in my second bedroom. Appreciate you making the time to come and hang with us here.
Well, thanks for having me. And just to let you know, John has his second bathroom in his second bedroom. This guy is a baller.
Balling out of control.
That's where I take
That's
my
his bathroom, too.
Yes, exactly. Personal bathroom. No one touches it until tonight where Liam defiled it, and I'll have to bleach everything from the ceiling to the floor. But yeah.
I guess we should give a small background on Liam. So,
yeah. So introduction.
Again, he married me and my wife. My wife and I were wedded into matrimonial bliss by the only person I know to have season tickets to George Mason University basketball. So I don't know if that's
a
good
thing.
There
are millions of people who have that too, John.
There's 9,000 seats in the building, and I don't know how that math works out.
For the listeners out there, John's not kidding. Liam did marry him and his wife.
Yeah. I have photographic evidence.
A good story about that. When I was marrying John and his wife, so he's not single.
Not single.
I forgot to tell the audience to sit down after the bride came out, and they stood up for half the show. And then John had to whisper to me, "Liam, tell him to sit down." And I looked up and I was like, "Oh shit!"
17.
I fucked up.
17 uninterrupted minutes of just awkwardness.
It was so awkward. Everyone was looking around at each other like, "Do we sit? Do we sit?"
But that's the power an officiant has. People, if you want power, be an officiant.
And again. Well, I say again, but I've said it a million times before. Liam was killing it as the officiant for the wedding.
He was
murdering. Like, the material was personal. Like, it cut to my heart, but I could not help but look at the dozens of people who were waiting to take a seat in 85-degree weather in October.
There was a million people there. They're all standing up.
But, man, it was a lot of fun, and that's a story I can go back on it and just give you shit until the end of time. We mentioned before that you are a bartender at Mustang Sally. You have a pretty interesting story as to how you got there, because you didn't just show up one day to say, this is what I'm going to do. You have an interesting path to get there. How did that happen?
Yes. As any Asian person, my parents did not want me to be a bartender when I grew up.
Or anything other than a doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was a corporate accountant for 15 years, straight out of college. And a few months ago, I just straight up quit because I couldn't take it anymore.
What? How did they react? You know, that's one thing we never really asked you. How did your parents react? Did you ever even tell them that you just...
Wait, parents, wife, like dog, like who, like... Somebody had to like throw up the stop sign at some point.
The wife is cool. The wife was okay with it.
Okay, thank
God. She can tell I was unhappy, so she wanted me to chase after something.
She's a good egg.
And I just told my mom yesterday, and she did not believe me. Then I told her again, and she still did not believe me.
Okay.
Until the wife said it's true, and she was pretty shocked.
This guy crazy. Oh man, he said he quit job. Yeah. He could work beer.
Yeah.
Oh.
You sound just like her. Same it's voice. Uncanny. Same everything.
I've heard that speech a time or two.
Yeah. So yeah, that happened.
Oh man.
Wow. Well, we have to give you props because very few people in the world have the balls to walk away from their 9 to 5 to explore their passion. So
It's you know it's scary. You know, it's like you have a steady 9 to 5.
Steady Eddie.
You don't have to go hunting for everything. You come in every day and you do the same old stuff and you get paid. You get a regular paycheck and you know you can plan ahead for stuff like that, but. When you're not happy, you're just not happy, you know.
True.
So, but majority of the people out there do not have the balls to take that step to do what you did. So,
well, there were a few times in my home office, I just looked up and I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Well, it sounds like you really like beer. You have to like beer to.
I love beer.
Okay. Well, then
did you make that decision while you're having a beer?
While drunk, probably.
That's probably the best time.
I'm drunk every day.
Was there one moment where you said, I just can't do it anymore? Was there like a defining moment at work or was it
It was. I had a really, really shitty boss and I was like, I don't need to take this shit no more.
Okay. Okay.
I'm better than this. So
you are.
Is there any chance he's listening today?
I hope he is because you're a dick.
But outside of being an accountant, you know, and obviously we introduce you and you're as a bartender, but on the side, you're also a videographer, you're efficient, you're a diehard Patriots fan. Like,
yeah.
George Mason Patriots.
Freaking eclectic. You know,
I have ADD.
Wait, are you a New England Patriots fan?
Negative.
Okay, just wanted to make
Tom
sure.
Brady. Negative.
Wanted to make that perfectly clear.
I'm a Patriots. Mark Ripken fan only, forever.
Ripken.
Yep.
Billy's brother.
The best quarterback ever in the NFL.
Sorry, Mark I misunderstood Ripken. That.
Mark, if you're listening to this, please call me. I left you many emails.
Yes, at GMU Patriots fan number 199.
Yeah.
So getting back to so we are in episode 5, like we mentioned, we want to do something really special. So on top of having a guest, we just felt it was natural for Liam, as being a bartender that he is, that it would be totally fitting for us to have our first ever beer tasting show.
Nice.
How fitting.
It is October.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I dig the October, like the fall beers, but is this like your favorite beer drinking season, Liam? Like what's your favorite beer drinking season?
Yeah, when it gets cold, yeah. I like drinking beer when it gets cold, yes.
Well, okay. That there's a drinking lot of beers beer to drink. during the cold is a good idea.
Yeah.
Are the fall beers one of your favorites, or what do you enjoy the most?
You know, I love all beer, so it's just a circumstance.
Right.
I can drink it all.
Nice.
Good to know. All right. Well, we've already started with our fall beer tasting to an extent because we were waiting for Jack, as always. But we cracked open an offering from Mustang Sally. So, Liam, if you please, our first beer.
Yes. So this is one of our signature beers. It's an amber lager called Article 1. It's a Vienna lager. And I describe it to the customers as toasty and refreshing.
Yep. Toasty.
Toasty.
Got a couple of Mortal Kombat fans up in the house.
Yeah, Ed Boon. Shout out to Ed Boon.
Noob Saibot.
Yeah, so we sell a lot of this beer. We continually tap out of it during service. So,
is this something that you can get actually like in bottle and cans? Because you brought it in bottles for us tonight, so it wasn't like a growler or anything.
So our brewery only bottles, so you can find this beer, this particular beer anywhere. Giants, Wegmans.
Wegmans, Safeways.
So outside of these lagers, what else are you guys known for, if any?
So we just started getting into IPAs.
Okay.
And, you know, personally, I like the IPAs that we have because they're not super duper bitter.
Yeah.
I've actually had a couple of them. I can't remember them because I kind of blacked out pretty hard afterwards. But what I remember was pretty good.
But yeah. I have to say, this beer is pretty good. It's really light. It's an easy drink.
Yeah.
And I could just, you know, I can see myself just having this all day and not even noticing it, you know, unless it's one of those creepers that hit you. But I didn't even, you know what? I didn't even check out the alcohol.
What is the ABV without looking, Liam?
5.5. And I looked.
Yeah. I thought we had them for a second there.
After 10, they all taste the same.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice, but I think this is a great start to the tasting. I think it eases us in. So the theme for today was we were shooting for having a fall theme event, so we try to pick fall beers. So.
It's still October, so we're drinking Oktoberfest beers next.
Yeah, I mean,
if you can't tell by the music,
the knock on, you know, the fall beer season is that it comes sooner and sooner each year. I mean. Each year you see pumpkins out in like August.
They come way too soon. What?
Oh. Doesn't everyone?
Pretty much. No, you're right. Because I feel
selfish,
like,
man.
I feel like we've seen like a lot of these seasonal fall beers, like the Marzins, all those on the racks in October. So it takes a lot of self-discipline to hold off until the weather is actually below 65 degrees.
Yeah, I can't drink a pumpkin when it's 80 degrees out. I mean, that's insane.
I know we say that now, but you're talking to, well, I think we've all done it. We bought a case of pumpkin when the sun was still shining bright at 90 degrees outside.
True.
When the rage was fully on.
Yeah, but we kind of figured out that's not the way to be. Way to go.
No, that's inappropriate. Yeah. So I think we've. Liam, you can attest to this. Like the tastings, or your palate changes over the course of your life, or even through a season.
Yeah, actually, an interesting fact is that these Oktoberfest beers are being released pretty early yearly now. Because even at our brewery, we stopped selling our Oktoberfest beer a couple weeks back. Because we released it early and then we were tapped out of it.
Already? Wow.
Yeah. Oh. So what are you guys prepping for, like the Christmas season now?
Yeah, so we're releasing our porters and stouts.
Ah.
Nice. So you guys have a lot of small batch stuff as well?
Yeah, we do have small batch stuff. So besides these two beers, everything is kind of considered small batch.
Okay.
So when they're out, they're out.
So a quick question. So why did you... Was Mustang Sally's the one brewery that you applied to? I can't imagine it. You probably applied to more than one. But
well, I applied to a few. Okay. But, you know, I don't have a bartending background, so they were offering bar back positions.
Okay.
But I had a little connection at Mustang, and the owner is really cool. So he actually knew. I told him what I was doing. Well, he actually knew what I was doing when I just applied. He's like, "You're corporate America, just like me.
Uh-huh.
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to learn more of the business." Like, yeah. So he gave me a chance.
No, that's cool, man.
Very cool.
Awesome. All right. So then the next beer on the list.
What are we at here, John?
This is the Great Lakes Oktoberfest. So
Oktoberfest. Yeah.
So Oktoberfest. Well, I'll start with Great Lakes. Like, they don't do anything bad. I can't name a bad beer that they do. They're out of Cleveland, Ohio. I think I've had like 5 or 6 of their offerings, and none of them have disappointed to date. So
their Amber Lager is great.
Elliot Ness.
Yes, the Elliot Ness.
The
awesome. Tent. Oh yeah. God, it's just so good.
And actually, going back to my wedding, I think this is one of the beers I had in contention to serve at my wedding.
What did you decide? I can't remember.
I left it to you, Jagaloons. I really wanted one of these or the Elliot Ness, and everyone voted for the Port City Oktoberfest. Which,
that's right.
Which in and of itself, a very good beer.
Yeah, that's a good beer.
They're always solid.
But man, the Great Lakes,
all right, cheers,
always one of my favorites.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
See, you guys already started drinking without me.
Yep.
I was blathering on. I think I poured ice the most, so. Take it easy over there, champ.
It's so good.
It's very good.
You know, for some reason, I always, when I think Oktoberfest, for some reason, I always think it's a heavier beer, but it's not. It's
actually a lager.
Yeah, it's just as light, but with a little bit of that little fall taste, you know, the spices.
Yeah, this one has like that caramel note to it. Mm-hmm. It's good, man. Like John said, Oktoberfest, great, and then. Great Lakes doing it even better. So
if you consider the Germans for Oktoberfest are looking to drink for duration, not for speed. So
it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Precisely. Yeah. So this is like
we still talking about beer here?
Yeah, precisely. But I mean, it's the kind of beer you could probably drink like by the boot by the pint for the entire day. Like, it's that easy drinking, and it's got that caramel note that Jack referenced. Liam, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a caramel note. It's a little spicy, refreshing. So, lagers are the hardest beers to make. Being a home brewer also, it takes a
lot. We didn't even mention that. You actually make your own brew, too. Yes. You don't just sling it. You make it.
I make it, too. Because I'm Asian, and I don't want to pay all the money. God, to other people's. Cheap.
I mean, I admire that about you, but damn, it's cheap.
Yes, lagers are very hard to make. It's a long process, a couple months to lager. As opposed to an IPA, you can crank that out in like 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yep.
With pay. So a lager, so are you following a lot of recipes you find? Are you researching?
Yeah, like, usually just recipes because I don't have the patience yet to try to make my own and have shitty beer and throw it out.
So are you learning, have you gotten into the, I guess the, you know, in the back of Mustang Sally's? Have you worked on the tanks? Have you starting to get? Have they trusted you yet? Are you
not yet?
Are you sweeping the floors yet?
Keep
how about that
guy away from the back?
That's going to be in the future. I think they're running me through the ropes first as a bartender, and then once I prove myself. But you know what? Those big systems are still very similar to home brewing.
Just on a massive
very
scale.
Largest, yeah, a massive water scale.
Just to give us a sense of timing, when did you first started brewing your own beer?
That was like 4 years ago.
Four years.
It's been a while, yeah. I'm part of a beer club in Arlington called Grist.
And shout out to Grist.
Yeah, shout out to Grist. They have amazing brewers there. They continually win competitions.
Do they have a Twitter account?
No, but they do have a Facebook account. So you can
go
there.
We're not there
so if you're
yet.
Interested in joining... Grist, G-R-I-S-T, Arlington Brew Club.
Nice. So you guys just swap recipes and tips and stuff like that.
During the meetings, we'll have open tastings, so you could bring your beer, and then people can give you comments, and you put out your recipe out there, and they'll check it over, and it's cool.
Nice.
How hateful are they with their responses and feedback?
Feedback is kind of tough because we're pretty drunk by that point.
Like a lot of F words that rhyme with maggot,
no,
like that kind of thing.
You know, honestly, those people are like the most genuine people I've ever met. Like that's during the meetings, no cell phones at all. I've not seen one person. I'm the only one person pulling out a cell phone.
And I'm sure they've all been at the same. Everyone's there for the same reason. Everyone's like passionate about this stuff, and everyone's trying to make their own. So I'm sure they're really supportive. You know, they're trying to help one another. Yeah. And
I think half of them are like hippies too. So you know that mentality.
Yeah, yeah man. You should taste my kombucha, bro.
Kombucha.
This is only the start, bro.
I actually got my first SCOBY from that club.
And
now my wife makes kombucha.
You're on the path.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Kombucha.
I know what that is. What's a SCOBY?
A SCOBY is a yeast cake of how you make the kombucha.
It's the starter. It's like the mother, so to speak.
It's yeast.
Yeah, there you go.
It's yeast. All right.
It's how you start the product.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well,
speaking of products, we're on to
number three?
Third beer of the night. So this is the Aleworks variety of the Oktoberfest. So I'm trying to think, is it Williamsburg Aleworks?
It is. Yes, correct. Out of Williamsburg, Virginia. A lot. German style Marzenbeer.
So the same style as the Oktoberfest we just drank from Great Lakes. I will say that their pumpkin offering was probably the least offensive pumpkin beer I've had in the last 5 years. And they've not been many, but like when I say the least offensive, that's the highest compliment I can offer because some of these things have been god awful.
One of the initial things I noticed drinking this beer, it stays in your palate a little bit longer than the other ones. It kind of hangs in like the back of your tongue.
It has more of an aftertaste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very crisp.
Yeah. It has a crisper, drier kind of finish, but it does linger a bit.
More well-rounded than the last one.
I think so.
So we're getting a sense of what Liam prefers.
I like round. Round mounds.
Jesus Christ. Don't we all?
I really have no idea where to go with that. Like I very seldom have come to a full stop on this show.
It's my beer preference.
Man.
What can I say?
Well, the roundness has served us well. I think we're just ready to pound them back and move on to the next. But, I mean, Ice, what did you think?
I think it's I like the previous Oktoberfest a little bit more just because it's it's a little, it's, to me, it tastes a little bit cleaner. This one, the fact that it kind of has like a longer taste just because it hangs on the palate. Like, I almost just want to like have my taste and then move on to the next. And the fact that it, it really lingers in the back of my mouth, it kind of bugs me a little bit. It's almost like, if you, it, it's like,
get out of there, sir. We're
like,
done.
It's like some thick liquid sitting in the back of your throat.
Oh my God. All
right, guys, I'm leaving.
This was the episode we're supposed to be listenable, and we've, I don't
you
know.
You can say you had half a guess because I'm leaving right now. I'm sorry.
This might be the time for a palate cleanser in more ways than one.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to need that.
Oh, sweet God. Yep, so we're actually going to pivot somewhat to not a seasonal beer. This is one that I brought, but it's one that I actually think would be a nice way to kind of break things up a little bit. And it's also from a source that you probably wouldn't expect as far as retailers. It's not a prominent
7-Eleven?
No. I did not check in with the local 7-Eleven, even though I spent some time there this week looking for Mega Millions tickets. But I think it's a Third Street Brewing out of Minneapolis, and it's their IPA. And wouldn't you know it, you can find it at your local Aldi grocery store.
Oh. I get a lot of cantaloupe on the nose.
Cantaloupe.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely something fruity.
It hits like the traditional citrusy IPA notes.
Yeah.
And I know that just given the fact that I'm a cheapskate, for one, that's why I shop at Aldi. But two, I've drank enough of this stuff to just kind of get familiarized with it. But yeah, it kind of hits all of the marks. And, you know, Aldi has that reputation of being a grocery store that only skinflint shop at, which, one, it's true. But two, they actually have stuff that will like surprise you from time to time, and this is one of those things that I think does that.
It's not bad. I agree with Liam. There's a cantaloupe type of note when you smell it, and then when you taste it, it's smoother than most IPAs. I think maybe because of it's a lower ABV than most IPAs. IPAs, yeah. Like they're so high in ABVs. It's just like I don't need that much. This reminds me of a session IPA a little bit, right? So it's a little higher. It's a little bit higher than the ones we've been drinking, but it's still really good. It's smooth.
Very and it smooth. Gets us out of the whole aftertaste comments. Hopefully, that yeah. Ice was making. Previously.
So do you guys ever smell your beer before you drink it?
I try to.
Yeah, I mean, if I pour it out, for sure. I mean, if I'm in a can, I can't just like put my nose up to it. But yeah,
Jack loves it in the can.
Oh yeah.
So here's say? A. Insider tip: if you brew, so to smell beer, your nose will get tired. So how you reset your nose is that you smell your own skin. Yes, whatever skin you want to smell, the whole body is available.
Okay. Let's walk that back a bit. So is that why you went like this?
Yes.
Just right now. Okay. So he didn't smell his skin. He smelled his armpit. So I think. I mean, like.
The armpit is clean, folks.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time,
don't tell these millions of people that I smell my own armpit, bro.
The numbers keep getting bigger than every drink. It's incredible.
All right. So you smell your own skin. Okay.
The dozens, the thousands, the millions.
I guess you can use that for other things too. You're trying to smell. I don't know what people try to smell all every day, but. You can do that same trick.
Yeah.
I mean, I figured you're just doing a key bump while you're turning around. But that's good to know. Yes. we're older men now, quitting our corporate gigs and moving on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
God willing.
Yeah.
So where are we at now?
All right. So I think we've moved on to the Charm City Pumpkin Mead. And I'll be quite frank, I don't think I recall ever having a mead, let alone a pumpkin mead.
I don't know what it is. What is a mead?
So a mead is like the new thing.
Oh,
that's
shit,
coming
he
up.
Knows.
It's basically like honey wine. It's like you basically just take water and honey and whatever fruits you want, and then you make it basically like beer. You use yeast to make alcohol. That's a mead. And it takes forever to ferment, sometimes over a year.
Whoa. Look at that.
Look at the color.
I mean, it looks like a really pale cider from this end.
Yes. Well, I mean, cider, kind of similar.
Okay.
Apple juice.
In that vein.
And then yeast.
Okay, so sidebar. I really do get a kick. I'm going to sound like an asshole after this. But you know the Bud Light commercials where the dilly dilly and all that? Like, that shit's played. But when they do the one with the guy who's like, I don't want a Bud Light. I would like a nice mead. Is it a seasonal autumnal mead? I wear the top of my kneecap out so hard every time that thing comes on.
Is that you?
You guys gotta smell this one. It smells like ass.
Yeah, I gotta smell my own arm. Hold on.
Does it smell like Charm City?
Kind of smells like ass. You gotta smell it.
Let's do this. Well, then it smells like Charm City. Baltimore. It smells like the worst city in the entire union.
Hold up, is this made from Baltimore water?
Oh god.
Always
smell your beer before you drink it.
If you shake an eight ball after asking that question, the odds would be
do we have a spit jar?
In your favor.
A little spit bucket?
Oh no, this smells
You want to spit in the cooler by all means. We've smelled it. Has anyone actually tasted the goddamn thing?
Not I said the dog.
It could be contaminated. I did. You never know.
It could be. I've had beers where it's been contaminated. I bought a stout from Costco. I was like, oh snap, Costco, $12. It was one of the bombers.
It tastes like a dirty wine.
Oh, it does.
Okay. Like a mulled wine kind of
thing. It tastes like what it smells like.
It has
delicious.
Like a,
yeah, I think this one might be contaminated, boys. Oh, my God. There is a funk to it.
This is no good.
I don't think their canning was good.
Let's make this clear.
I'll dump it out for you guys.
My God.
Yeah. I'm going to drink it. I don't care.
You don't have to dump. I'm just saying, this is purchased at Total Wine.
Yeah.
And I'm...
Oh God!
I'm really soured on the whole purchasing experience at Total Wine because I've had some beers from their a couple of different locations where if you don't read the fine print, you may notice that the beer is maybe a year or two expired.
They'll go
out of the way to mark it down, and that should be a red flag in and of itself. But like, if you're cheap like I am, like you just look right past that and see like a decent brand, and you see something that's on sale, and you jump right for it, and it's just the most objectionable thing you put in your mouth because it's gone bad. I don't know if you ever had that experience before, but I mean, it's happened to me on a number of occasions.
The freshness dates on beers isn't a date when it goes bad though. It's just when it's not. It won't taste fresh anymore. So
what's the date on that?
Bad beer actually
find the
comes,
born on.
Yeah, bad beer actually comes from contamination. So I think during the canning process, so something got into these cans when they were filling them up.
Somebody had like a chap's pit beef sandwich.
It could be anything.
Oh, yeah. In all fairness, I don't think I've had a mead in such a long time that I don't know. Is that what mead's supposed to taste like?
No, okay. Not at all.
Okay. Thanks for verifying.
Well, I mean, let's also look at the product in and of itself. It's a pumpkin mead. So maybe that's not like the best fruit vegetable to introduce to something that's already cloyingly
sweet. Where do they source
already?
These pumpkins?
Oh yeah.
Annapolis or
like a sour
Ellicott
now.
City?
Is it?
Yeah.
Like you let it sit for a little bit and then
take a full gulp.
Okay,
it's like a sour now.
All right. I trust you.
I'm like still working at it, so I'm trying.
Sour and gym sock. Good stuff.
It's a problem when you drink the beer differently, it becomes a different beer. That's not a good thing.
There's like this licorice like aftertaste. Like it's not even. I mean, everyone's palate's different, but my palate is like awful. But is awful.
I did get a tiny bit of that licorice flavor you're talking about.
And it's supposed to be pumpkin.
Yeah, I'm gonna take
the honey, right? I mean, right. What the?
Yeah, there's honey. I'm gonna take the extreme step to rinse my glass out. After
please.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Please. Oh,
God. You might I'm not rinsing out. I'm a man.
No, he's like a
did you guy. Finish yours?
Yeah, I did.
I finished mine.
If you're a real man, you're gonna finish that can.
Oh, one of my.
Just kidding. Please don't do it. Please
oh,
don't
no,
do
he poured
it. No,
he poured it.
We have to move on.
He's gonna shot it. He's gonna take a one shot.
Okay.
One of my goals of coming on the show today is to bring back the manliness in the show. If you listen to the last episode, John cries in the bathroom by himself. Jack online shops.
Yes.
And Montree goes to Disney on Ice. And he
you nailed
by
it.
Himself.
And Tesla dealerships.
Hey guys, I don't know if you want to turn this into a regular.
He talks to other men at Tesla dealerships for 3 hours just for fun.
He just wanted a friend.
His intention was not to buy a Tesla. It was to talk to another man for 3 hours.
Never wanted a car.
It was Andre, right?
Antoine.
Sorry. Yes. How could I?
It was former Wizards great Andre Miller. I was trying to sell him a Model X.
Oh, yeah. If you chug it, it tastes like licorice.
Yeah, exactly. The speed with which you drink will determine what you taste.
Yeah.
Hey, sidebar. I don't know if you guys want to make this an ongoing bit, but we can ask, like, did John cry this week? And the answer this week is yes.
Oh, I know why you cried this week.
Well, it happened more than once. What? We don't have to go into detail.
More than once? Yeah. Oh, if there's time today, let's get into it.
We'll circle back.
Yeah.
So we are moving on to beer number 6.
Shit, are we at 6?
We're at 6. This is tasting number 6. Where are you at, Jack?
Number 6. It's the Virginia. It's the Licking Hole Creek.
Ooh, yeah, very nice.
Down in the
Richmond, right?
Richmond area. Yeah. Yep.
Richmond.
This is the Carrot Cake Imperial Amber Ale.
Oh, thank God, something of quality.
Licking Hole Creek. I know that they have their beers are very eccentric. They have like different flavor combinations. Oh,
That's different.
Yeah, it's a lot of their stuff is like off the wall. Like they push the boundaries with their offerings.
And you have some experience in the Richmond area, I presume.
Yes, I went to school there.
Oh.
I know that
there's a terrible school there called VCU.
Virginia Commonwealth. I feel bad for anyone who University. Went
there. Yes.
The rivals of the George Mason Patriots.
It's one of the worst schools in
and
Virginia.
Nobody else.
No. Yeah. I mean, at least we're not a commuter school, so it's cool. Yeah.
You're a murder school.
So. Oh shit.
Yeah. Murder. Yeah. Murder was the case.
He said your school's accessible by road, not just one, but several. That's a slight and a half.
This is a bit strong.
This beer is complex. It's a complex.
It's got layers. What's the ABV on this, Jack? If you please.
9%.
Yes.
Oh yeah. I can.
I taste every bit of it.
Let's not chug this guy.
Not this guy.
No.
This one's dangerous.
Especially you've been drinking vodka at 6:30 in the afternoon.
Evening. John is definitely crying after this one. He's gonna bring all of his emotions out.
I am not watching professional wrestling clips after this. Let me tell you that. I'm gonna make that clear.
Is that what got you? Professional wrestling clips?
We're not gonna get into
this
right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm intrigued.
This is a circle back moment.
All right.
Yeah.
But that just tastes like it hangs. Like okay, you said like what was the? It wasn't the mead. It was the. It was the Oktoberfest from Ale Works.
Yeah.
That hung on the back of your palate.
Hangs.
No, this one hangs on the front, back, side to side, like you're riding a lowrider. Like it's all over your palate, and it does not want to get out. We might need to take another drink of the IPA to get this thing like cleared out of our palates.
What do you think, Liam?
I don't get the carrot cake.
I don't either.
No, not at all.
Maybe on the nose a little bit, but
there's no like cream cheese kind of flavor to it that you kind of get from the frosting from a carrot cake.
It's bitter.
Yeah, I mean, but bitter doesn't speak to like carrot cake or amber ale.
No, so. I was expecting a little bit more sweetness or something on the tongue, but
it's, the description says there's spice notes of cinnamon, allspice, cardamom, clove, and vanilla complement.
Maybe the allspice. I don't get much.
For sure, allspice.
I get allspice. Yeah. No vanilla. Maybe pump up the vanilla.
But the carrots don't even come out. Like this is like
not
it's,
at all.
They're saying like hundreds of pounds of freshly grated carrots.
I wasted 100 pounds of carrots.
Yeah.
I don't want to dip this glass into ranch.
Maybe it's the cake part. This is sweet. This one is sweet.
It is almost cloyingly sweet in that. Okay, so you don't get like the overwhelming sugary flavor, but you get like the syrupy kind of consistency.
The syrup, cough syrup.
You know the
bitterness.
The amount that we're having just as a taster, I feel like it's just enough. I cannot imagine having a whole can of that or a whole glass of this.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, and it didn't come in a regular 12-ounce can. That's like
a tall boy.
That's a tall boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big beer.
I'm gonna choke this one down, boys. Good lord.
Yeah. Is this the last one, or do we have more?
We this is.
We're drinking really fast.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. We do have one more.
We have
and
one
that's
more.
The end. That's that's.
Oh, is it the Big Bang fireworks?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But we can
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do
I
it.
I think we should give the mead another try.
No,
out of another can.
not
no,
at all.
I'm gonna ask you to exit the premises.
It could be just this can that was contaminated.
What if it's the same batch?
No, I think the can is what made it.
Okay.
Let's figure it out.
That's the only reason why I picked
it. Let's just try a little bit. Let's try one more can of this mead to clean the palate from whatever we
drink. I think that's the only one.
Well, actually.
Oh, this is the only one?
Yeah.
Oh okay.
Yeah, never mind.
Do we have any more of that IPA?
It was a one-shot deal, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, let's do a little cleanser of that IPA.
Oh, sweet Lord. Yes, thank you. I welcome it like the apocalypse. Bring it on.
So, Mantra, you picked this mead, right?
Yes.
He picked it. Okay, so.
All the cans, you picked the one can that was bad.
Actually, I picked a lot.
He picked the vast majority of the beers we're drinking. Actually, he picked all the beers we're drinking tonight outside of the IPA that I brought because and the Mustang Sally.
Okay.
But he wanted to go seasonal, and that you know what? He probably had the right idea, just went astray with one selection.
Well,
just the can art is beautiful, by the way.
That's usually the first thing. So when I'm looking at a aisle full of beers, I usually go for the pretty cans.
So
know?
Superficial.
So which can has the fattest ass? Let me see.
Yeah, the one that really stands out to me. And then I take a closer look and then see what kind of beer it is. And because, again, the requirements for tonight, I was trying to stay within the fall seasonal. Just because, you know, lately I've been on this vodka kick, so I've been craving a lot of these fall beers. So this is kind of my splurge. I wanted to get a little bit of everything.
Is this tonight a cheat meal day?
No.
Oh.
I'm not going to Uber Eats McDonald's after this. Is that what you're saying?
Oh. That's actually a very cool thing you just said, because how do you pick your beers when you go to a random, like, Total Wine? So you pick because of pitcher.
I pick because of the label designs, right, and then the type of beer second. But I usually, like, I see what stands out to me, and then mm-hmm. I take a closer look.
So, okay, so for me, inherently, I will gravitate towards the seasonal section, for one, mm-hmm. just to keep things fresh, and two, I'll give extra attention to the brands that I know do pretty good beers by and large. Like I'll check out like during the summer I checked out Boulevard because I know they do a great Radler. I'll check out like any of the guys like Great Lakes, like the guys I know that are heavy hitters that you know that do good stuff consistently, but they also do like seasonal varieties pretty well. So it's generally in that pattern, so it's hard to kind of get me out of that. But you know, I'll also defer to local staff at a Total Wine, even though I'm pretty sure they don't give a shit about what the hell I'm buying. They just want to get me the hell out of there. But you know, I'll ask a question every here and there. But there are a lot of like great beer shops in the area outside of the Total Wine. So you know, if you touch any of those, if you're anywhere close to those guys, they're your best options.
Yeah, there's so many breweries in the Northern Virginia area. I mean, it's not just, you know, Mustang Sally's. There's Fairwinds.
Mustang.
There's Caboose. I mean, there's a ton of breweries up here. Like, it's so saturated. I don't know if we're ever going to... It seems like we're at a tipping point. Like, is there more room for other breweries? Are we...
I think the craft beer thing has kind of died down a bit. So I think that means that there's room for everybody to find their niche.
Yeah, for sure.
It actually has, because there's a lot of breweries who are going through layoffs right now because of the boom.
Yeah.
And then it died down. Like a Green Flash. Everyone knows them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Out west. They just shut down their East Coast distribution. They laid off. Wow. They put 20 Didn't million...
Didn't they open up like a factory or a plant down in
Richmond, right?
They put $20 million into it and they shut it down because it didn't work out.
Wow.
And they laid off everybody.
It's a game changer.
I can't imagine a brewery not working out. I mean,
the boom was huge. So it was exciting times, but now it's back to reality. But it's still a good point, though. It's still a good plateau, but
I mean,
it is plateau.
How are the people reacting in your group, in your meetups at the Grist?
Like, oh, they don't care about that kind of stuff. I mean, they make their own beers. Usually, we just make our own stuff and we drink it.
Yeah, stop putting star anise in your beer, dickhead. Star anise.
Star anise is the best ingredient for anything in life.
God,
anise,
no.
Anise is great.
If you're making pho, yes, but no.
So when I pick my beer at if I'm at like a Wegmans or something, I'm like terrible. I'm the guy that's on his phone looking up every name and looking up the Beer Advocate reviews and looking up every... It's terrible.
Untapped.
So
why would you do that?
Just like Jack.
Just follow Jack on Twitter and watch
you
everything he's drinking.
I do.
Yes,
I do.
He
I do
does.
Follow
he
Jack's.
Likes... He's like, oh, how's that? I see him, the interactions. We have some interactions back and
Jack is the mayor of many beers.
Many, many beers. I, you know, so... But yeah, I'm on the same... I'm the same way.
Sneaker Sleuth has checked into Miller Lite.
I've checked into Miller Lite. There was some kind of... sort of a natural light beer and like a Natty Light type of beer that I had never heard. Mountain Rock or something like that. Like
Mountain.
My brother-in-law, he doesn't like craft beers. He likes just, you know, your typical like your Miller Lights or your Bud Lights.
They dominate the market for a reason.
They do. I mean, they're able to make a beer
consistently
yes. and on a massive scale.
Thing.
Yeah, right. And in different parts of the country where the water is completely different. So they've mastered it. So I mean, for that, I mean that alone, I mean you have to respect that. But yeah, Well, how else are you? Just on your phone? Are you checking the Beer Advocate?
Just Beer Advocate, looking at the reviews. It's terrible. So usually when I buy beer, I go find a very specific beer, and I go find it, and I buy it. I don't go out. I try not to go empty-minded without a selection.
Nice. So do you tend to drift toward more local beers, or just whatever is?
I do try to drink more local because you know, it's cool to drink local. You got to support.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, boys,
what are we doing now?
We are moving to our finale. So
it's the coup d'etat.
So for this one, this is a personal request of mine, just because you know, getting into fall beers, I think it was pumpkin specifically. Pumpkin was the first one that really piqued my interest. Like, I would say this was about like 5 years ago or so when it hit the market.
Yeah,
and I remember the demand was so, because they didn't really make it. I think Southern Tier makes pumpkin, and they're based out in like upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the supply wasn't that great. So that first year when it came out over here, it was just sold out everywhere.
It was a hot commodity. Yeah. Hot commodity.
There was a way you could manage to get your hands on just even a bottle. That was huge. So I remember that first year, it was epic. It was just, I haven't tasted a pumpkin beer, anything like that. In years following that, I felt like it kind of went up and down. It fluctuated. Like the year following, it was pretty rough. They changed up the recipe and it wasn't that great. And then they came back and it got too sweet. And so, you know, I took a break from pumpkin.
So many breaks.
I've been in San Diego for a couple of years. They don't have pumpkin out there. I was looking for it. So now that I'm back, I just want to know what it tastes like. So I really wanted to do this, but I know one of the things Southern Tier also did was they created Warlock, and it was a coffee?
It's a pumpkin stout.
Pumpkin stout.
Pumpkin stout.
And the idea is, like, one thing you can do is mix it to, and it'll create a unique blend that, that's what I wanted to end on, just to see what that tastes like.
Yeah.
So. You wanted to see us black out. That's what you wanted.
It's just a tasting.
They're both 8.6% ABV.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so what Montre said, you know, alludes back to what Jack said. You know, these big beer companies, their consistency is amazing. So even a pumpkin that does really well 1 year because it made an amazing pumpkin beer cannot replicate it every year to year, because that's actually the toughest thing to do, because you have to dial everything in. Even temperature, the atmosphere, everything.
Wow.
So ton of money goes into trying to make beer consistent year after year.
I think with Southern Tier and their pumpkins, after the first year, like Montre said, like, it tasted different the next year. I think they were modifying the recipes a lot. So the first year was great. It hit you, but it wasn't so overpowering. That second year, it was so, it had a lot of spice to it. It was right in your face. I was like, this is too much. I'm telling you,
Jack, they did not change the recipe.
Oh,
the
really?
The thing is, like, even, like, maybe the
so got we the changed. Hops. They got we
the,
changed, right?
They got the hops from the same person, but their hops grew differently that year.
Okay, all right.
As opposed to, like, the large Miller Lite company. Well, they quadruple filtered their beer, so obviously it's going to be more consistent. But, yeah, trust me, the goal is to have consistent beer from these people, and then it's just impossible to do. Like, unless you're growing hops from your basement, which your basement's the same all the time.
Yeah,
it's so just that difficult.
Right. Okay, all right. Great insight. Insider.
Well, shall we?
So we've actually done a mixture of the Warlock and the Pumpkin.
I gotta smell my arm.
It smells great. It smells great. It smells like a pumpkin pie.
Oh. I gotta do a key bump. Hold on.
Oh, wow.
It smells amazing.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Sláinte, boys.
I've never mixed these two, so I'm very interested.
This could be a problem.
Yeah, it tastes amazing.
That's pretty good.
It tastes pretty awesome.
Oh, wow.
Syrupy, but awesome.
I mean, so it definitely does hit the sweet spot.
Yes.
Literally, like, not just, like, in the idea that they hit the target. Like, it's sweet. but it's not to the point that you hit your breaking point with sweetness. It's not cloyingly sweet.
Yes. Was this even 50-50?
50-50. Like, as best I could approximate it. I'm not a professional bartender.
You're a mixologist.
I can make an old fashioned.
You are a mixologist.
I poured it into three different glasses of different sizes, and I tried to approximate it as best as possible. But yeah, like if you guys are tasting what I'm tasting, like that's pretty solid as far as a seasonal, like a pumpkin beer and I guess a stout beer, like something that just kind of rounds out that flavor profile.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
I wonder, like, I feel like the stout is what I'm tasting a lot of, and maybe it's like the pumpkin, but then it's like maybe because of the warlock, it's why I like it so much. It's not as sweet. It's
well, we got to drink each one individually.
We got to break it down.
But the nose is amazing. After you drink it and you breathe out your nose, it's straight up pumpkin pie.
So you're telling us we have to finish the beers that we have in front of us and then go back around to the individual drinks.
That's two more tasting people.
Fair enough.
Millions and millions of people. We have two more tastings.
Oh shit! The mid credit scene and the after credit scenes. Us drinking pumpkin and warlock separately. Yeah.
It's really good. Gosh.
Jack with a hard hitting comment.
Yeah, no, the nose is really good. I think it's more of the stout that I'm tasting. Mm-hmm. And then the pumpkin is complementing that stout flavor. So there's already a pumpkin stout from the warlock. So I mean, it's
like a meal.
Yeah, I would say that it is best as an after dinner beer, right? Like you can't really drink this during, like you cannot drink more than two of these and then make it out to make it home. Yeah, so true. This is something you want to do. Yeah, this is something you drink at home after dinner and then you pass out. But yeah, it's amazing.
I'm at home.
we can go over our reviews.
Yep.
In a second.
So while you're doing that, John is now pouring us the pumpkin, just the pumpkin.
Just the pumpkin. Okay. I've had the pumpkin by itself, so I will abstain from reviewing.
Ooh. I actually saw pumpkin at Costco, but I didn't want to shell out the $7-$8 for it.
For the bomber?
And you know what? I asked Jack. He had it, and I asked him if he liked it or not, and he said he did.
I
trust his opinion, so I got some.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It reminded me of the first time I ever had it. So that's sort of we're chasing that dragon every time we're drinking something like that's what these brewers. Yeah, that's what these brewers are looking for. Is
the
trying
first time
chasing.
I hit X. Oh man.
Based on what you're saying, they keep the recipe consistent every year. It's just a matter of all the atmosphere, the hops, all the ingredients.
Every little thing can change the flavor of a beer. The water.
That's amazing.
The temperature, the hop.
The race of the person who picked the
hops. Hops are measured by alpha and beta.
Oh, sorry.
So the variety of that, it's...
Whether the guy picking the hops washes his hands.
The pumpkins that they're picking up from wherever they're getting it from, it makes a huge difference.
Massive. All right, so we're going straight pumpkin here.
Yes.
All right. Cheers.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you can taste. So from the blend, now you can kind of understand how that flavor was put together by just drinking the pumpkin.
That's how they got there.
So that confirmed that I think the stout, the warlock is really what I'm tasting.
Carries the day.
Yeah,
the warlock's powerful.
Yeah, it's.
But this isn't bad. This isn't.
This is refreshing and pumpkiny. Mm-hmm. I love it.
This is like light and crisp in comparison.
This is awesome.
Right. Yeah,
to what we just had. Wow.
Well, it's now they're mass producing it at such a massive higher scale now.
Yeah.
So they've kind of nailed down the
the
whole process. So I'm not sure how big they are now. I can only imagine.
Well, I mean, the fact that they can actually scale down tells you that they're actually doing okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they in years past they can only afford to do it in bombers and ship them out like by the case.
Yeah.
So the fact that they can do it by 6-packs or 4-packs in 12-ounce bottles tells you that they can actually scale down and make it a similar experience and make it consistent enough.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, the more money you get, the better scientists you can get. You know what? These nerds out there that are scientists are the ones that are dialing in these beers.
It is like a form of chemistry, right? Like you kind of have to figure out
any great brewery has a lab where you're measuring everything in your beer.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't have a lab, you're not making consistent beer. I don't care.
So is that sort of the challenge that you're facing when you're home brewing?
Yeah, when you're home brewing, you know, you try to be consistent, but you don't care. You just want to make alcohol and drink it and get drunk.
is that what's talked about at the at your meetings?
Yeah, well we try to we have like education sessions where, you know, we talk about sanitation and hop preparation, try to preserve your hops and stuff. Okay. But you know, end of the day, the beer sucks. You're still gonna drink it. You put your money into it, and then you're still gonna get drunk off of it.
Yeah. Gotta gotta enjoy the fruits of the labor, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this is our last. So John has just poured us now the other half of that blend. So this is the Warlock.
It smells amazing.
Now we find out what happens after the snap. What?
Oh yeah. I think that's the beer you could drink like one. You drink one of this.
Yeah,
it's good, but you drink one.
Dude, that blend together, amazing. Those two separate, I would say I lean towards the Pump King as a beer I could drink separate. I cannot drink a Warlock separate.
Sum of their parts is greater than the whole. Yes.
But together, oh my God, that's an epic beer.
How'd you learn how to mix it? Like, I never heard about that before.
I think when it first came out, that's what it was designed for, right?
I think I heard like a Jagged Edge song where they poured the Hypnotic and the Hennessy together. And I thought, you know what? Pump King and Warlock can do the exact same shit. I'm drinking Incredible Hulk with beer.
I remember the first year the Warlock came out, I read something that it was designed in a way that it was meant to complement the Pump King. So some people mix it, some people drink it separate, but it's really phenomenal together.
Yeah, together is the move. Oh, yeah. Wow. I can't. I'm not really a stout fan, or that's not my where I lean towards, but... Yeah, it's the Pump King is where it's at. I can drink that and I'll be fine, but this is just like very overpowered. It's power. Yes. Yeah. It's like one of the Infinity Stones, right?
Does anybody still get down on Guinness at all?
I had one a few weeks ago.
What do you think?
Still good. Still just as good as I remember it.
I mean, just checking because it feels like everybody has this perception that Guinness is like eating a meal in and of itself.
No.
ABV is low. Like the beer goes down smooth. I don't understand anything that these people say.
Nothing. I mean, it was
but
fine.
But continue pushing that narrative. Like I don't like yell at people. I try not to.
I mean, I had it in a can. And it was fine.
In the can.
Oh, sorry. In the can. Yeah, it was fine. Precisely. Like, yeah.
Well, Guinness is an Irish stout, and those Irish people drink the whole day. So they designed that beer to be drunk the whole day.
Lovely. All right. I mean, do you guys want to give your ratings for the beers we've had tonight?
Sure.
I mean, we can go right down the line to see like how you all felt, like as far as your favorite, your least favorite. Like, we can start with Ice. Like, what did you think?
Let's start with the easy one. So my least favorite is that Baltimore crap that's sitting in front of you, man. What the
hell?
Come on,
man. They
that?
Have feelings too, man. You can't just be calling it crap.
That was the Buck Showalter right. of alcoholic offerings
All
tonight.
All right, you Baltimore crap. I give you a lot of credit. You have a hell of a can. You look beautiful from the outside. That's why
that
I picked you.
That ass is fat.
That ass is shiny.
What?
Round mounds, baby.
Like I can tell you spent a lot of time working on the way you look. You've done
some lunges.
That's equivalent to those YouTube videos you see online where it's like the Asian chicks that put layers and layers and layers of makeup. And then once they start peeling all that stuff off, you're just like, oh my goodness.
Why you gotta make fun of our peoples, man?
Well, we can do that.
Because we're allowed to.
I mean, look at the name of our podcast.
You went so far. You went so far left that I did not even.
A million listeners went to four.
Okay, so.
So that's my least favorite for sure.
Ice doesn't like Asian women and Charm City Mead. All right, next. What's your favorite?
But my favorite. I mean, I think the obvious was the Pump King and Warlock. So I'm not even going to say that just because I think that would be a hands down favorite unanimously.
Too easy.
I think I'm going to say my next favorite after that was probably the Great Lakes Oktoberfest.
Whoa.
I really enjoyed that thing.
I was thinking you were going to say the Aleworks one.
Hold on.
No, that was the one with the long lingering aftertaste.
The one that lingers?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, okay, then yeah.
I didn't like the one that hangs in the back of my throat.
He got stuck behind his uvula. He said, fuck this, I'm out.
Yeah.
Get out of my urethra.
Big brother Jack, what say you?
Well, the LVP,
obviously. We don't have to mention it, but we should.
He's not even going to check in on Untappd for this.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm not scanning.
Shots fired.
Yeah, Charm City. No, the mead, it tasted like trash.
More like Uncharm City, am I right?
And I've tasted trash. I lean toward an IPA. I did like the IPA as a palate cleanser.
So $7 at Aldi, 4-pack.
So that was pretty good price.
Yeah, it was great. So the Third Street Brewhouse IPA, I enjoyed it just because it didn't hit you right in the face with most in terms of the ABV of 6.2. It did have a very cantaloupe fruity note to it when you smelled it after I smelled my arm. You gotta smell the arm, and it went down pretty smooth. It wasn't as hoppy as most IPAs were. I mean, I do enjoy a good IPA, very hoppy IPA, but this was good. I definitely is a session IPA, and then I guess my third best would be I like the Great Lakes actually. Yeah. So as well. So I did. The L Works was okay. Wasn't my favorite, and then unfortunately in the middle of there is the Mustang Sally, their Vienna Lager, which is sort of like the middling beer, which was still a pretty good drink. So that's where I'm at.
Good starter.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, to the expert in the room, Mr. Liam, what did you what was your least favorite?
My least favorite is the Warlock beer.
Ooh.
Whoa!
Yeah. No, wow. That's good.
That's good.
Honestly, burning the couches like you went to the University of Maryland after an NCAA tournament win. What?
Like this mead tasted like socks and licorice and ass.
Licorice.
Like it doesn't merit consideration.
If I really wanted to get drunk, I could drink like 10 of these.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, sure.
But the Warlock, I could drink like half. Yeah, at most,
that's true.
Right? It's so strong. That makes sense.
What was your favorite?
My favorite was the Mustang Sally Amber. Article 1. I'm only saying this to get a raise.
Follow at Mustang. Follow Mustang Sally at Mustang Sally, yes, at twitter.com.
And everything shout out else, to Mustang Sally. Everything else is right in the middle.
Okay.
I'll say this. Like,
the
like,
Audi beer did surprise me. That was a good beer. Yeah. I've seen it at Audi.
Like you're really quick to dismiss that stuff. Like I've had some weird shit that they
discount
have.
Discount beer.
Here's the thing. I don't think they're an Aldi brand. I think they're actually like a brewer that caught on with Aldi and just ended up getting like mass distribution.
I hear you, but if you just look at the price, you figure it's a discount beer.
Yeah.
But it's a legit beer.
It's value and it's drinkable because I've drank the shit out of this beer in the last couple of years. Like I've tried to find something that like fits my price point and
yeah.
The shit's good.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not going to be a contrarian. Least favorite, obviously the Baltimore Swill, the Charm City Mead. Like, don't ever bring that in my house ever again. Like, I'm going to walk down that aisle in Total Wine or the grocery store and just not even give it a second look. I'm going to stick to my guns and say that the Oktoberfest from Great Lakes is still my favorite because, like, every time I have it, it just reminds me of how good they do beer just in general. And if you're in the area, the movie theater in the Mosaic District, the Angelica Theater, they have Great Lakes beer on tap year-round, no matter what, on the bottom floor. You can get seasonal varieties. Right now, they're probably serving the Oktoberfest. I would assume they're probably getting ready to whip up the Christmas ale, which I will be lined up to have on tap. But like, they don't do anything wrong, and like the beers are always consistent. They're always this good, and on tap, in the bottle, in the can, it's incredible. So that's my favorite. So I'm sticking to it.
Cool.
Awesome. Nice. Well, it sounds like across the board. Of course, Mustang Sally, I think, was
number one.
Mustang Sally showed pretty solid tonight.
Yeah. I mean, we all good started drink. With that, and it was a great drink.
I'll black out there again.
Following that, I think Great Lakes. I think that's a really good beer.
One day we'll quantify these results.
Yeah. And of course, if you can get your hand on a Pumpkin and Warlock, do it.
Yeah. And if you find yourself in a Total Wine, just find where the Charm City Mead is and just kick a hole in every can. If you got steel toes, just stomp a mud hole in every single one.
Don't be swayed by
that was a contaminated can. I'm gonna give them another chance.
That might have been a dead pumpkin that they brewed with.
It's rotten.
Well, I think we actually, well, we meant to actually touch on a few other things today, but we might have actually exhausted our time. We're not going to run over time just so that we stay consistent and not infuriate any of our listeners who only want 60 minutes of content.
Yeah, but could I just ask a quick question?
Certainly.
I mean, the only thing, the only reason why I bring this up is because it is in addition to our festive episode, but it's Halloween week. What are you guys doing? Are you guys doing anything fun? We don't have to get into any long
I'm
going to
cry, evidently.
That's what you always do.
Par for the course, right?
But is there any... I know back in the day, you know, Cafe Asia was like the place to go, but like where...
Cafe Asia, if you will.
Where the hell are the parties these days?
Shout out to Cafe Asia.
Or are we just too old that, you know... No
that
one
ship
really
has sailed.
No one parties anymore.
I'm pretty sure that ship has sailed. Liam, like you we're all like pretty much the same age, but it feels like you're like the most youthful of the
yep.
four of us. Like, mm-hmm. what do you?
I am.
I tend to disagree. No,
whatever, Dad.
No, he okay. agrees.
Liam, what do you have on the schedule for Halloween?
So, I was actually going to make a party in my house.
What?
Notice we're like 7 days out, and this motherfucker hasn't invited any one of us.
Zero.
But,
yeah.
So I was going to have it on the 27th. This, you know, but. Not 27th. This Friday. I was going to have it this Friday, but...
You were going to have it tomorrow, and we're hearing about it now, tomorrow. You dick.
No.
Zip zero.
So the wifey's like renovating the kitchen right now, so everything's a mess.
Yeah.
So I may have it next Friday, and you guys are definitely invited.
Post-Halloween? So is that November 2nd? I'm just checking my calendar,
wait.
Bro.
Yeah. No, the week after, the November 3rd. I might do November 3rd.
Okay.
Later.
Yeah, I don't want to push the wifey too hard and have her blow up trying to finish this thing up, you know? You got to be a good husband, so.
Yeah, these timelines are lining up like Infinity War.
I agree, like what Montri said. We used to have Cafe Asia. That's gone.
No more.
And, you know, we're all getting a little older, so let's have a good house party. Let's just get...
I like that. I'm good
with
that.
Just throw it out.
Yeah.
When a cop comes, you know, he'd be like, you know, man, I'm like... almost 40 years old. Leave me alone.
My son, he sailed a beer. I don't know why. Go away, Mr. Policeman.
Can you stop doing that?
I just see a single tear roll down Liam's face every time I do that shit.
I'm not the crier here. You're the crier, okay? Tears are coming out of your eyes.
He's not lying. All right. Well, in any case, well, now that we know that we're on the bottom end of the invite list... it was a fun show, boys. Glad we got to episode 5. Didn't mother F any mass or large ethnic groups, and you know we had
huge thanks to Liam for,
oh,
for,
yeah.
coming,
for
to
coming
to the
out,
studio
man.
Tonight.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
Woo!
For having me. Millions of listeners.
Millions.
Hulkamaniacs. Thanks for having me.
But yeah. as they mentioned before, we have a whole bunch of topics that we are trying to get to tonight. We'll get to it next week. We're going to have to find a way to get you in here more often.
Yeah, for sure. It was a pleasure.
Maybe the Redskins
don't suck. My schedule is open.
Maybe Liam will.
I am jobless.
You're on the top of our short list, so we'll keep an eye on your phone. Well, boys, if we don't see each other before Halloween, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
If we don't see each other before Liam throws his party, fuck Liam.
Fuck off.
You're invited. You guys are invited.
I appreciate it that we guilted you into that.
Sure.
Well, boys, have a good Halloween. Have a good week. It was fun as always. And we'll see you guys for episode 6.
All right.
Goodbye.
Later.
Cheers. Peace.